Friday in the second week of Lent. The first reading from the book of Genesis. Israel loved Joseph best of all his sons, for he was the child of his old age, and he had made him a long tunic. When his brothers saw that their father loved him best of all his sons, they hated him so much that they would not even greet him. One day, when his brother had gone to pasture their father's flock at Shechem, Israel said to Joseph, "Your brothers, you know, are tending our flock at Shechem. Get ready, I will send you to them." "I am ready," Joseph answered. So Joseph went after his brother and caught up with them in Dothan. They noticed him from a distance, and before he came up to them, they plotted to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes that matter Rimmer. Come on, let us kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns here. We could say that a wild beast devoured him. We shall see then what come of his dream." When Reuben heard it, he tried to save him from their hand, saying, "We must not take his life." Instead of shedding blood, he continued, "Just throw him into that cistern there in the desert, but don't kill him outright." His purpose was to rescue him from their hand and restore him to his father. So when Joseph came up to them, they stripped him of the long tunic he had on. Then they took him and threw him into the cistern, which were empty and dry. They then sat down to their meal. Looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, their camels laden with gum, balm, and resin to be taken down to Egypt. Judah said to his brother, "What is to be gained by killing our brother and concealing his blood? Rather, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites instead of doing away with him ourselves. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh." His brother agreed. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Some Midianite trader passed by, and they pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and took him to Egypt. The Gospel according to St. Matthew. Here another parable. There were a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wide path in it, and built a tower. Then he led it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servant to the tenant to obtain his produce. But the tenant seized the servant, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first one, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance." So they see him, threw him out of the window, and kill him. What will the owner of the vineyard to do to the tenant when he come? They answer him, "He will put the wretched man to a wretched death, and leave his vineyard to other tenant, who will give him the produce at the proper time. Jesus said to them, "This you never read in the scripture. The stone that the builder rejected had become the cornerstone. By the Lord had this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit. The one who falls on this stone will be dashed to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priest and the Pharisee heard his parable, they knew that he was speaking about them. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowd, for they regarded him as a prophet. Sharing God's wonderful providence. The founding of South Vietnam event, which happened on April 30, 1975, was called by many at the National Heritage Day, but also seen as an opportunity for many Vietnamese families to send many Joseph to foreign nations. These Joseph, after a few years of settling down in foreign country, brought their whole family from Vietnam to reunite with them. They also sent financial resources to Vietnam to save their relatives from hungry. When Vietnamese recent look back at this event, many recognize God's wonderful providence. He achieved many good things from this tragedy. Today, reading showed God's wonderful providence. He achieved many good things out of human jealousy, selfishness, and anger. In the first reading, the first Joseph was sold to the Egyptian merchant with 20 pieces of silver by his brother. Because they were jealous and angry with him. But in God's providence, Joseph became the governor of Egypt and was prepared to save his family from famine and to bring his whole family to reunite with him in Egypt. In the Gospel, Jesus told us the story of God's vineyard to initiate human ingratitude and his future death. Again, in God's providence, the stone that the builder rejected had become the cornerstone. By the Lord had it been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Jesus is the cornerstone which brings salvation, not only for the Israelite, but also to all nations. The first reading, Joseph's brother sold him to the Egyptian. First, his brother's jealousy and wickedness. Jacob, their father, had a reason to love Joseph more than his brother, because he had Joseph in his old age. When his brother saw their father loved Joseph more than them, they hated and maltreated him. The opportunity for them to get revenge came when his father sent Joseph to bring food for them, who were taking care of the flock in the field. Joseph met his brother at Dothan, and when they saw him from afar, they plotted out of a plan to harm him. They said to one another, "Here come that master Rimmer. Come on, let us kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns here. We could say that a wild beast devoured him. We shall then see what come of his dream." Joseph had a special talent to interpret dreams. He dreamed many dreams and interpreted them to his father and brother. In one dream, he dreamed that he saw his father and brother to bow before him. This annoyed his brother and was the reason why they called him the master dreamer. When Joseph was sold to Egypt, this special talent helped him to be set free from prison because he foretold the release of one officer who was confined in prison with him. It also helped him to become the governor of the country because he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and brought foreign wealth to Egypt. In the Old Testament, dream is a way for human beings to understand wonderful but hidden things which God is going to do for a human being. Through the dream, Joseph recognized God's love and providence for him, his family, and humankind. Second, human wicked plan and God's providence. Joseph's brother wanted to kill him right from the beginning. But a brother, Reuben, found a way to save him by suggesting an alternative way. We must not take his life. Instead of shedding blood, he continued, just throw him into that cistern there in the desert, but don't kill him outright. They threw him to a cistern which had no water. Then they sat down to their meal. When they were looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, their camels laden with gum, balm, and resin, to take down to Egypt. Judah said to his brother, "What is to be gained by killing our brother and concealing his blood? Rather, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites instead of doing away with him ourselves. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh." His brother agreed. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. This Judah is the figure of Judah Iscariot, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Through the selling of Joseph, we recognize God's providence. He knew both Reuben's love and Judah's greed to save Joseph from death. The Gospel. The stone that the builder rejected had become the cornerstone. First, the New Testament story of God's vineyard. The reason why we call such a name is to differentiate with the Old Testament story of God's vineyard, which Isaiah reports in chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Jesus used the allegorical style in his parable where his audience can figure out what and who were implied in the parable. We can lead out the comparison as follows. The vineyard is the Israel. The tenants are the Israelite leader, priests, scribes, and Pharisees. God's servants are prophets to generation. The main different point between the old and the new story is the sending of the sun. When the tenants saw the sun, they said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance." Then they see him, threw him out of the vineyard and kill him. Jesus wanted to dialogue with his audience to stimulate them to give a sentence for the tenant by asking, "What will the owner of the vineyard to do the tenant when he comes?" They answer him, He will put the wretched man to a wretched death, and lay his vineyard to other tenant, who will give him the produce at the proper time. Second, God's providence. Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scripture? The stone that the builder rejected had become the cornerstone. By the law had this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The scripture which Jesus referred in this passage is Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23. Jesus wanted them to understand that God's plan of salvation is fulfilling in the turning hatred and wickedness. Jesus is the cornerstone which the Israelite leaders are going to discard. But his death shall benefit all people, both the Israelite and the Gentile. From now on, God's kingdom is no longer limited in Israel, but shall be opened up to all nations. These are nations which shall bring more benefit for God than Israelite. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew that he was speaking about them. At a setup, they were attempting to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, for they regarded him as a prophet. They couldn't execute their plan because Jesus' time didn't come yet. When his time comes, they shall execute God's plan of salvation exactly as planned by God. Application in life. God is organizing and controlling all things in the world. Human beings might think they are the one who control, but actually, they are only doing what are planned in God's providence. People, of course, still have the freedom to cooperate or to oppose God's will. They can't stop what God has already planned. He can use both good and bad of human beings to achieve what he planned. God's providence is often difficult to understand, but we should believe it. If we can fathom all God's providence, we are no longer human beings. Amen.